All right, here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a final interview of the week. Joe, of course, on vacation. But joining us now is Senior Manager, Communications, Investigative Reporter for the Yankee Institute, and that would be Mark Fitch. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Ray. Good to be here with you.
Well, it's nice to have you on. So I don't know if this is something we didn't know, but you did quantify it, which I think is important. Connecticut property tax growth. And bear in mind, there are going to be a lot of holes in the Connecticut budget and in a lot of town budgets as you're required to do different things in the classroom, so to speak. Mark, just give us the summation of the story, YankeeInstitute.org.
Yeah, we just released a study on Wednesday in conjunction with the Tax Foundation out of Washington, D.C., and we looked at Connecticut property tax growth as compared to Massachusetts and New York,
right,
and found that Connecticut's property tax, you know, increases have outpaced both our nearest neighbors and pretty much outpaced the rest of the country as well. One of the reasons, and something that we're recommending, you know, politicians look into, is that Massachusetts and New York have property tax caps. So they're local revenue can only increase by a certain percentage every year. And, you know, I mean, for instance, since 2010, property taxes in Connecticut have increased by 19%, but during that same period of time, our home values decreased by almost 4%.
Hence, the mill rate has gone up.
And the mill rate's gone up by 29% since 1991, and that was when we implemented the income tax.
All right.
So, but in New York, it only went up about 15%. In Massachusetts, it only went up about 10%, and their home values increased. So clearly something is off. And, you know, looking at New York and Massachusetts, I mean, obviously up until this unforeseen pandemic, they were doing pretty well. So, you know, we were like, okay, what's the difference here? And the difference is that they have caps on how much they can increase the amount of money they bring in on existing property taxes every single year. And we think that might be a good idea for Connecticut. You know, property taxes here are some of the highest in the nation.
Yes.
And it's one of the, you know, people, you know, generally, you know, it's quite a burden on them. And kind of the big difference between property taxes and something like the income tax, the sales tax, is property taxes are much more easily able to rise. You know, like you have, you know, your town council votes and, you know, those millage rates can increase, you know, almost every year. Whereas for the income tax to go up, I mean, you have to have this big legislative fight and, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff going on. But at the local level, you see all these little increases every year and that adds up. And so this is a way to constrain that kind of growth. I mean, it's, you know, taxes can still go up, but, you know, it gives the people more of a say in it. I mean, in Massachusetts, you can vote to have your property taxes go up even further if there's something you need to pay for, you know, like a new school or something like that.
Like a referendum.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, and I think the usual amount is like the cap's what, 2%, something like that?
2.5% in Massachusetts and 2% in New York.
Okay. So, you know, if you look at the various towns, the 169 wonderful towns in this state, you know, they rely so much on the property tax, education, maybe fire protection, maybe, you know, who knows, dog control, I mean, whatever it may be. I mean, they rely a lot on the property tax to pay those bills. You cap it, then what happens, Mark? Where do you, I mean, in other words, are Massachusetts and New York as reliant upon it as we are, the property tax?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, they do rely on the property tax to fund things like schools and everything like that. What this does, it doesn't mean that property taxes can't go up or that towns can't increase their revenue.
Right.
For one thing, it gives them an incentive to grow, you know. So just because there's a cap on how much revenue you can raise on existing property, that doesn't stop you from adding new property, you know, having properties grow through, you know, adding things on, getting new businesses into town. So you know, revenue can still go up. And, you know, it's not like, you know, New York and Massachusetts are filled with failing schools and things like that. I mean, frankly, they're comparable. They're comparable.
Yeah, they work well.
Yeah, they do work well. And well, yes, I mean, they are, you know, we obviously are very reliant on it, but this, you know, the costs keep going up every year. This is kind of a cost restraint, you know, so local leaders would have to find ways to kind of constrain the growth of spending a little bit, you know, not a ton, but a little
bit. It's kind of funny because, you know, you have this anti-sprawl, I don't know, this organization, these people who are fighting urban sprawl and all that stuff, like we have it here. And go up in the northwest corner sometime. Take a look at urban sprawl. But, I mean, the whole point is a lot of places, and I know a guy who's going to put some houses in one of the towns around here, and the residents fought him because they didn't want any more, you know, houses. They didn't want any more businesses. So, you know, in a way, you're killing yourself if you're complaining about property taxes, because you're right. If you get more houses, guess what? You get more property taxes. Granted, that means you have more kids in school, but nevertheless, you know, it's an alternative, and being no growth sometimes kind of hurts.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, Connecticut overall economically has been very slow since 2008.
Oh, yeah.
And if you stop people building, if you stop new businesses coming in, if you stop new homes being built, you're not going to grow. So, you know, this gives more of an incentive for growth at the local level.
Right.
It gives people more control over how much their property taxes go up. And overall, you can still get the increases in spending that you need, but you can't, right, you can't go wild with it, you know?
Well, the other thing you can do, Mark, is, you know, we've been talking to realtors, I think it was last week we did, and somebody from Real and Ravis, and the whole point is that what we're seeing is an influx of people from New York in particular, kind of like Kurt Russell, you know, Escape from New York, and they're coming up, and they're buying properties, and those prices are going up. So that's another way to get more revenue, I would guess.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's, you know, obviously, you know, the numbers that we were working with for this study, you know, don't account for this very recent, you know, influx,
right,
of, well, New Yorkers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is also a great selling point for real estate, you know, like, hey, your property taxes are this, and
right,
they can't just go up all the time. You know, you're going to have more confidence, and you're going to have more certainty in what your future tax payments are going to look like.
Right.
And those tax payments can be quite significant, especially when you get down into Fairfield County and these big houses that are being bought up.
Yeah. And when we first moved here, that was one of the issues, was A, the school, but number two was the property tax. And we ended up in Avon, which has a fairly high one. Farmington has a lower one because they have more industry and more things on the wheel. I mean, it's significant. So, I mean, the thing is, you're right. If you grow and if you allow some industry in, which is jobs, which is not a bad thing, that, in fact, you know, it can be a beneficial deal. Property tax can be a put off. And if you've got a fixed income, you're older, you're getting killed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who wants to be retired not knowing what your property taxes are going to, you know, how much they're going to go up in the next few years? You have to be able to plan for that. And, you know, obviously, you know, we see a lot of retirees leave for the South.
Yeah.
And the South has much lower, you know, property taxes and much lower taxes in general.
Well, Jim Vicevich had a listener down in South Carolina. And I remember one day the guy called him, and, you know, he's got a house as big as anything here, and the property taxes are like a third, you know. That's a factor. Hey, listen, if people want more information or they want to see the article and get more details, more than we could cover here, just go to YankeeInstitute.org, and it's one of their features. So thank you, buddy, for being on.
Hey, great to be here, Ray. Love listening to you every morning.
Okay, have a great weekend. Thank you. And
you
I like
too.
Reading, you know, the Yankee Institute. So see, it's all working out well.